We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
State Studio, I'm Ryan Horvath. First on the Fan, the Major League Baseball Players Association delivered a return-to-play proposal to Major League Baseball on Sunday that includes a 114-game season, deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason, and the option for all players to opt out of a potential 2020 season due to coronavirus concerns. The proposal, which was the first from the union and came on the heels of a Major League Baseball plan that was loudly rejected by the players, comes at a moment as baseball tries to become the first American major sport to return. Although the players expect the league to reject it, they hope it will serve as a bridge to a potential deal to come later on this week. The update brought to you by DuckDuckGo, fed up with companies selling your data. Well, DuckDuckGo's out if they help millions of people like you. They help you take back your privacy. With one download, you can search anonymously, block creepy traffickers. You can do it all for free with DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere. Download the radio.com app, favorite the fan today. Hour number three of the Bart Winkler Morning Show, and it's about to start now. It'll be commercial free, and we're talking with Marlins Man. I don't know about what, but we're going to talk with Marlins Man here on The Fan.
Jovial, caring, wacky, live and local. It's time for the Bart Winkler Morning Show.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Do want to thank everybody that's chimed in throughout the show. We use this platform, again, our platform, your voice, has sort of been what I've been saying. It was a very tumultuous weekend in the country. We, I think, had some good conversation about that. That will be available on the podcast. You can listen to that at any time. And then, as always, at Winks Thinks, at Ryan Horvath, we are willing to continue the conversation with you, and we will continue to take your calls. I'm sure the Big Show will address it, and Bill Michaels' show today as well, as we're all trying to figure out how to make this country a better place, and, you know, the long steps that it's going to be to do that. So we are just another platform for you to have your voice heard. I think that, you know, when I started being on these shows, I always thought that as much as it is my show, if you're going to commit time to listen to it every day, you should have the opportunity to contribute to it. I've always thought that, and a lot of you guys stepping up and doing that today and appreciating that. So with that being said, and that's what we've talked about, now we're going to do something else. Dan Favalli is going to join us, Bleacher Report. We're going to talk about if the NBA is on track to return. It looks like the reported date was maybe July 31st when we could see the season come back. Most of the NBA seems to be on track. They may do something quirky with the schedule, but I don't know why. And we'll see that coming up in a little bit. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Nice.
Right now, he is the guy that I don't even know this guy's real name.
Well, he's Marlins Man, and I actually just called him his landline, and he's at work right now. So his secretary answered the phone, Bart, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Marlins Man, and are you at work right now?
Of course I'm at work. Miami hardly even closed. I mean, despite what you see on TV, it was shocking. They closed in Florida the beaches and the roads in front of the beaches, but they really didn't close the rest of the stuff except like Disney World.
Really?
So what have you, so Marlins Man is the guy you see on TV. He's been to Miller Park. He's been to games around here. You've been to Bucks games. You see him in the bright orange shirt with the bright orange hat. And the crazy thing about you is sometimes you'll be at like ALCS game 4 on the West Coast, NLCS game 5 on the East Coast the next night. First of all,
same
how
time,
are you
same
able
days.
to, That same
I've
day.
Done that same day. Yeah.
How are you? How do you afford that?
Actually, I'll give you a funny answer and the real answer. The funny answer is I have no wife, no kids, no overhead, no debt, and my married friends understand that. But the real reason is that I started doing it a long time ago because in Florida, as an attorney, I can't give you money for sending me cases, but I am allowed to give you tickets. So what I would do is I would buy the best season tickets for the Dolphins or the Hurricanes or the Marlins or whatever, and I would give them to people who sent me cases. Then when my teams got terrible and nobody wanted to go, I was stuck with all these great seats. This is way before StubHub and those things existed.
Yeah.
And so I would give them to churches and charities and stuff, and I felt really good inside to see the smile on faces. Because when I would write a check, let's say, for $25,000 or $50,000 to American Heart or Cystic Fibrosis, I never really got enjoyment out of that other than just writing a check. But to see the smile on somebody's face and to buy them hot dogs and hamburgers and have players come over and have them meet the players, that really made me feel good about paying it forward to a stranger. And that's the truth.
So when you go to these games, you're not alone? You're with other people?
Always. I've never been alone, ever. And actually, which I put out on Twitter, a little hint, all this started in my life because of Milwaukee. You know, how? How did that happen? Well, in 1956, before I was ever born, my dad's partner, named Gene Posner from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you can look him up. I think he has the Posner Foundation up there. He used to own a TV station and some radio stations and garages. They started a printing business down here. And he is a huge Packers fan from the 50s. So when the Dolphins started a team in 1966, he bought the season tickets at the 50-yard line, rows 1 and 2, over the tunnel the teams come out of in the Orange Bowl. So I was the first sports I ever did in my life was going with people who were Packers fans sitting in row 1 and row 2 at the 50-yard line. And the reason why that was so huge is the Packers played in Miami in Super Bowl II. And I was there. My very first Super Bowl was Super Bowl II. Not because of the Dolphins, because they weren't even around. They started after the Super Bowl that year. But because of the Packers.
Wow.
So that's how I started in sports, because of Milwaukee. And over time, as the Dolphins got good many years later when they got Don Shula. By the way, Super Bowl III, people don't realize how huge Super Bowl III was for Miami. The coach of the Colts was Don Shula. If he wins Super Bowl III, he doesn't go to Miami at the end of the next season. He stays in Baltimore. Whoever thought when the Colts lost to the Jets that would affect the Dolphins eventually going 17-0, which made Gene Posner, or Posner, a big, big Dolphins fan. And his kids, or his grandkids, who I'm friends with, because of the Brewers, came up to me when I hadn't seen them in decades. And when I was in Milwaukee for the playoff games, they came up and introduced themselves. So I was really happy.
So I have one question, because Bart brought up the fact that he'll see you at the ALCS, then we'll see you, you know, back in Miami for a Bucks Heat game. Do you have a private jet? How the hell are you getting to all these different places?
I used to have a Cessna, and we almost crashed it once in a rainstorm and it went upside down. So I'll never, ever go on a private plane again. I go commercial all the time. And the way I can do doubleheaders, which are easy, is let's say it's the Yankees and the Mets in the same city. Or I can do a doubleheader, let's say, when it's the Redskins and the Nationals, which is NFL and baseball in the same city. But the best day I ever had is I did a quadruple header. I did a Yankees game at noon, a Jets game at 4, a Baltimore Orioles game at 7, I forgot what I did at 10. Oh, I did something else, but I did 4 events in a day. That was 3 right there. That's a triple header. Oh, the 4 is when I did the kids' baseball game, a charity event at 8 in the morning.
That is just insane. So now there's no sports going on. So what are you doing to keep busy? Because usually, you know, we expect to see you next to Front Row Amy here in Milwaukee, see you in New York at Madison Square Garden. So what are you doing with no sports?
You know, I nobody's ever asked me that yet, but I'm going to tell you the answer here. I'm watching me on TV a lot, and I'm on my phone a lot.
Yeah,
it looks like
too
I'm on
much.
My phone the whole time. What the hell?
Right? You know what? That makes me mad, Marlins man. And then those pictures you sent me.
I like you guys. I'm being honest. I've actually listened to your show when I was in Milwaukee with some friends of mine. Like, I have my friend Jay, who we started the Rally Cat with, that little calico cat you see me wearing the head and stuff. And it was really good luck. Very good luck. It won every game it went to until it was the Dodger series. But, you have to remember something. I go to events almost every single day for 7 months straight. I never, ever, ever get to watch the games on TV. Ever. So here I am watching the World Series, let's say, in 2014, Giants-Tigers. And I'm on my phone, though. Before I was called Marlins man, he used to call me the creamsicle, the white-orange guy. And I'm like, damn, I'm on my phone a lot. But I never knew that. And then when it got to 2014, when it really blew up because of the contrast, which you saw, let's say, at the Royals games, I noticed I'm on my phone all the time, except when the pitch is coming. I kind of sense when the pitch is coming, and I look up and I watch the pitch, then I go back down to my phone. And because baseball is 90% timeout and only 10% action when it's coming, it looks like that. But in an NBA game, when you see me at, like, the Warriors games or the NBA games, I'm never on the phone
because
I'm watching all the time until there's a timeout. And when there's a timeout, you guys go to commercial. So you don't see me on the phone during the timeout.
So what are you doing? What are you doing on your phone the whole time? Do you know?
Yes. Because I put out my cell phone number and I didn't think about it, and it was on Twitter and stuff, I'm getting nonstop messages, sometimes during a game, sometimes 200 or 300 messages a minute.
Yeah. And what Marlins man does, Bart, is he sends me texts of his seats in Miami, and then he sends me texts after the game when he's at the nightclub with like 8 beautiful women. Where do you find these women? Do they flock to you because you're Marlins man, or do you still have to hit on girls?
They come to me
like
fleas to a dog, you know?
I bet.
Because I'm a single guy. I have money.
Yes.
I have no ex-wife. I have no alimony, no child support, no diseases. And that's very attractive to girls in every city.
Now, do you own any other clothes?
Or do you just
rock the Marlins gear? Because here's the thing that I don't think a lot of people realize. You and Derek Jeter, last time we had you on the show, you and Derek Jeter had a sit-down, and you guys had some beef. You said you were done going to Miami Marlins games. So we see you at Bucks games. We see you at Brewers games. But we don't see you rooting for your own team. Has that relationship got any better?
Oh, no. I'm actually a Marlins fan, and I will stay a Marlins fan. But there's other teams I like, too, like the Brewers. But the thing is, you can't demand respect in life. You have to earn it, okay? And while Derek Jeter might have been a Hall of Fame player, he's been a piece of crap owner, and everybody knows that. It's not me saying it. And when they had that town hall meeting you referenced, I just went to watch. And then people in the audience started texting me, you got to stand up and speak. You got to stand up and speak. You're a great speaker. You're a lawyer. He's getting away with murder here with his smile and his charm. So I grabbed the mic at the end. I was the last one to speak. And most people spoke for like 20 or 30 seconds. And the Marlins would not let anybody record it. Well, a lot of people recorded me. And it's like an 8-minute speech. And I'm all over him. You know, like you're a virgin owner.
Yeah.
You never owned a team in your life. Quick, tell me a team that you've ever run in your life that was a winner. Tell me a team that's ever made profits. Tell me any business you've run. You're just a player. That's all you are. You are a player. And if you think of a player makes you a successful owner, go get Michael Jordan on the phone. Ask him how he's done as an owner.
Damn.
Or Bo Jackson when he was running the Royals for a while. What have you done to earn our respect? Yeah, you stand up and you keep saying, trust the process. Give us time. You traded away an all-star outfield. We all know about Yelich, Stanton, and Ozuna. But who are your backups? Ichiro and Dietrich. Teams would die to have those guys. Okay? You traded away Romuto. You traded away D. Gordon. Okay, Bohr was good at the time. You traded away Bohr. You had weaknesses. You needed pitching. I know for a fact that Stanton sat down with you and told you we need 2 or 3 pitchers. You don't have to go out and spend 20, but just give us guys because we had the highest batting average and the most home runs in baseball last year since the All-Star break. And Jeter smiled and said, sure, I'll be happy to do that. Mm-hmm. And a week later, you started trading guys away. What would you do? Why would you want to pay major league prices for a AAA farm team?
Right. No, I'm with you.
Right?
That's the thing, man, and I've been to the ballpark. I got a I remember me and my buddies went for a bachelor party. We got a bucket of beers was like $125 at the bar.
Oh, that's another thing. Right. I'm so glad you mentioned that. As you know, I go to stadiums all over the country, everywhere, right?
Right.
I think the Marlins have, like, the highest prices of anywhere with nobody there.
Yes, yeah. And, I mean, you're paying for the atmosphere. Like, I get it because I brought up the atmosphere. You at the nightclub with these beautiful women. But, right, I mean, you're watching a crap product. You're watching a minor league baseball team. So has your relationship got any better with the team, or are you still just to hell with them?
Well, what happened was, as you know the story, I needed those tickets to give away to people. So I made them an offer. Now, I had until this year. We were at a 10-year contract. Season tickets for the Yankees and the Mets. It ended this year, okay? I had the front row there. And they're very valuable. People always trade, okay? So they make you sign either a 3-year, 5-year, or 10-year contract. That's how they got the financing for the stadium. The Marlins won the year to year. So I suggested at the town hall meeting to Jeter, why don't you do what the Yankees do? Let's have us sign a 3-year, 5-year, or 10-year contract. If you sign 10 years, for example, it's one-third less than the face value you pay on a daily basis. If you sign 3 years, I think it's like 15% off or whatever. I said, I'm willing to sign a 3-year deal with you.
Yeah.
And he said, we'll sit down and talk about it, I promise. I called him 21 times. And as a lawyer, we document our dates and times of calls. He didn't return a single phone call.
Oh, man.
So I wrote him a letter at the end of the year because Trump was changing the tax law. And I said, if I buy 3 years of tickets and I go and buy more seats than I have now, more than I have, it's like $260,000. I'll offer $200,000 paid now. I will pay 3 years in advance. When you sign a contract, you pay each year. The reason why I wanted to pay 3 years in advance is my accountant said, hey, if we pay it all now, we can expense it the next 3 years because you won't be able to expense tickets like this anymore because Trump changed the law.
Yeah.
So I sent him a check for $200,000 to get money saved.
Yeah.
And they said no. And then they started negotiating with me. And the most I offered them was $600,000 today.
Jesus.
For 10 years of tickets. Eventually they said no. And I was out, just like you thought I was out. Well, somehow people heard about it. Media started calling me, and I didn't want to say anything in case they changed their mind. I gave them a deadline, the Monday before the season started. And on Monday, they called me up, and they tried to renegotiate. And I said, no, you want me to buy even more tickets at full value over there? They were playing lots of games. I said, I'm going back to my first offer. Take it or leave it. $200,000? For 3 years of seats and an empty stadium. There is nobody in the first row. There's only two, actually. There's 2 out of 9 sold in the first row, and not a single ticket sold in the second row except me.
We are talking to Marlins man who
right.
it's nice to hear someone actually upset with an owner in baseball because we keep talking to people, and everyone seems to be pro-owner when it comes to trying to figure out if these guys are going to play baseball again this season. Do you think we're getting baseball, Marlins man? Because
well, let me ask you a question right now.
Please.
Okay. I understand the owners want to make money, and I understand the players want to be paid what they're supposed to pay, and I also understand the prorating, I think, is very fair. But when the owners say, we don't want to give you full salary because the fans aren't there, it's not going to make a difference in a team like Miami because they've been getting ready for this a while. No fans go. But for ones where fans go, let's say like Milwaukee or New York, it could be a big number. But here's the problem. Who's taking the risk of getting sick? Is the owner going to be in the locker room? Is he going to be taking showers naked with the players? Or is it the players taking the risk of getting sick? Because they're taking the risk of getting sick from either a coworker, like, who knows, the maintenance guy, a co-player, whatever, I really think the players should be getting almost all of their full salary, or they should split the difference. Give us 75% of our money instead of 50% or whatever. But they're taking the risk of getting sick so that the owners can make money. And
you
that's how I feel about that.
I agree with that. And I don't get why these owners are acting like if you own anything, there's risk in the value going down. If you own a business or run a business, doesn't mean you're going to make a profit. You got to work hard to make sure you make a profit and deal with the challenges that come your way. These guys are all acting like it is their inherent right to make hands over fist of money every year. If you have one down year, that doesn't mean you quit, because if they have a down year and they quit, I don't see a lot of people coming back to baseball in 2021.
Well, I got another one for you. Ready? which is, hasn't got a lot of traction.
Hit me, Marlins, man. Let's go.
You're exactly right, but here's something. Baseball doesn't have revenue sharing. And what that agent Scott Boras was talking about was, if they have a terrible year, it's not the player's fault. Because if they have a windfall year and they make $200 million each profit, they don't share it with the players like the other teams do. It's not like in NBA, they have profit sharing. So if you want to make us a partner of yours and make us suffer when you're suffering, then make us a partner of yours when you are making lots of money. And baseball hasn't done that.
A sport played without fans, you're about as big as a fan as it comes. Is that going to be a good product on TV?
I don't think so, but I want to do something for you guys right now. And as you know, people don't know this, I've been on your show before, and I remember it, and we had a lot of fun. Here's what I want to do for Milwaukee, because Milwaukee's been very good to me. And by the way, I'm very pissed you didn't make the World Series last year. I had this huge surprise planned. I had already bought the first row from my friend Tom, who owns them. He's a great guy.
He did.
I was bringing to every World Series game me, which, you know, I'm next to front row, Amy, and the guy from Chicago, the pink hat guy.
Okay.
The guy from Chicago who wears the M&M jacket in the yellow. You would have the, all of the front row fans together every game in Milwaukee for the home games. When you lost to the Dodgers, I was upset. And also you have Christian, who's a, Yelich, who's a great guy. I know him. I know his mom. You got to follow the dog, Cooper. I'm so happy for him because he found a good home, and you guys have treated him right. He would have never been the star he's become if he stayed in Miami. He would have always been under either Stanton's shadow or, unfortunately, he passed away, Jose Fernandez's shadow. Because the Marlins kept promoting Stanton and Jose. They never promoted Yelich or Ozuna. But here's what I want to do for you, because I don't know how much time we have. I really want us to have games. And when the games come back, all you hear about is what the players and owners say. But have they even thought about, do the fans want to go? Think about this. Would you want to sit with me in a stadium knowing with 30 or 40,000 people that if somebody in that stadium was exposed because of his kid at school 4 days ago, we could get coronavirus and get sick? Nobody's out there saying, are the fans that even want to go? Maybe I might even retire Marlins man for this year.
No, don't you
dare. Maybe
I'll
retire him next year. But do I really want to go to all these stadiums and take selfies and hug and touch people when accidentally they could be getting me sick?
No.
But here's what I want to do for you guys, and I really want to do this. When we have baseball back normal, and I hope it's this year and I hope it's the playoffs, I want to have through your station a contest. I'm going to buy seats, and we're going to bring 17 people to a playoff game. And you say, why 17? Well, I figured out before, a baseball game, unless it's a rainout, is 18 innings. But you can't count on the bottom of the inning in case there's the home team's ahead. So you get 17 half innings. If I bring 17 people to a game, I get to put next to me each half inning in the best seat somebody for the chance of their lifetime. I've done this in Phoenix. I've done it in San Francisco. I've done it in Kansas City. I've done it in St. Louis and, of course, New York, New York. I haven't done it in Milwaukee yet. So what I want to do is when you guys get to the playoffs, and I believe this could be your year, so I don't want you to, even though you lost Moose, and I loved Moose, I want to bring 17 fans. You're going to be in charge of having the contest to pick the 17 fans who will have tickets to the playoffs, lower level, and sit next to Marlins man for half an inning.
I'm in.
I like that.
I'm in, Marlins.
We're
man.
In. We'll have to get our promotions department back off furlough to make that happen.
We'll get on their ass, though, too. Yeah.
But we are in. Marlins man, we do have to go. We appreciate your time. We will see you in the future. I know it, and it's a great opportunity to talk to you, bud.
Thanks so much.
All right, good. I want to actually see you guys at home games for the Brewers and the NLCS. That'll make me really happy.
That would be the best. Have a good day, bud. Stay safe.
All right. Bye, guys.
Man, I love that.
Marlins, man.
Told you you'd like him. All right, we got Dan Favelli coming on, so stall some time for me.
Well, I don't consider this stalling time. I consider it using my time wisely, because I do want to remind you guys about Window Select. These guys, windowselect.com, 262-703-3500. If you are a homeowner as myself, you know there is a certain pride you get from owning a home and taking care of it. The pride in knowing that you've chosen the best for your home. And this summer, it's time to see your home in a new light. Window Select, Milwaukee-based company, offering replacement windows, siding, and doors. These guys are located Menominee Falls, proud to serve Wisconsin homeowners. They've got products that are high quality, energy efficient. All of their products come with a double lifetime warranty. A double lifetime warranty. That is one of the best warranties in the entire industry. A double lifetime warranty. You're getting high quality, you're getting energy efficient products, and you are getting the kind of product and guarantee, the warranty that you are expecting, and they're going to be the ones to step up and do that. Here's what else they've got right now. For every window you buy, you get one free. For every window you buy, you get one free, plus no payments until 2021. So Window Select, the great products that they have available, and you get the buy one, get one deal on windows and no payments till 2021. Plus, the siding you need, the replacement doors you need, they've got all that for you. See your home in a new light this summer with Window Select, where they know their products better than anyone. They will personally install them in your home, and that first in-home estimate, that visit, no charge for you. They will do that for free as well. Again, this week only, take advantage of this offer. For every window you buy, you get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Window Select, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. Dan Favalli joining us from the Bleacher Report, Bart Winkler Show. Bart Winkler here, Ryan Horvath with us as well. Dan joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Dan, thanks for a couple minutes. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we are doing good. I think that when we look at when sports are going to return, I think the problem that I'm realizing is, let's say all these sports come back. Let's say baseball announces today we're coming back. The NBA makes that July 31st a hard date. The NHL comes out with a date. It's still like at least another month, maybe two, until anything actually does start to resume. The NBA, the rumors, July 31st at Disney. How close is that to being official?
It seems like it's fairly close. I guess, you know, it does seem like they're trying to work through some of the logistics, and that the biggest one, as it was at the beginning, was how are they going to structure the bubble? How loose is it going to be? Who's going to be allowed in it when you're looking at players and their families? The bigger thing, though, might be what happens after they actually settle on this and make it official, and maybe that's why they've been a little bit reticent to do that to this point. Could there be a second wave that kind of forces them to push it back or maybe cancel it altogether? Are they still trying to make sure that the testing capacity for the United States in general and the ability to contact trace, that's going to continue to progress before they make that official announcement? I honestly don't know. I would expect, though, that unless, barring something, you know, catastrophic at this point, or barring a change in the worst kind of direction, that July 31st ends up being the date, or at least right around that time that they stick with.
Now, let's say the season does start then, and it starts at Disney. The question is, who is going to be there? There's been a lot of different proposals. I think that, you know, it's pretty easy to say, all right, let's just have the playoff teams come. They can practice a few games and then start. It might also be easy to say, well, you know, these teams that are on the edge, we'll finish out the regular season with those teams. Then we're getting into, well, let's scrap the entire NBA playoffs as we know it, do a World Cup style bracket, and go from there. I don't understand why you already have a pretty messed up season and schedule. You're going to have 3 months without games. Do you like the desire to really change things? I just want to see, hey, the Bucks earned the one seed at this point. Let them have the one seed. They're not going to get home court advantage. Don't make them go through more hoops to try to re-earn what they've already earned. Or is that the right way? Is there more excitement to that? Should NBA look at using this time to experiment? I'll tell you right now, I think it's stupid. How about you, Dan?
I don't mind some experimenting, you know, like a play-in tournament for some of those final seeds. But I do agree with you that, you know, this isn't really the time to reinvent the wheel. Seeding 1 through 16, I used to be an advocate for that, but probably over the past year or so, just seeing the type of rivalries you wouldn't get when looking at teams playing each other in the postseason in consecutive years, or in this case, the Bucks, if the practice shakes out that way, they get the one seed in the East, but all of a sudden they have to beat both the Lakers and the Clippers, I believe, if they want to win the championship. That doesn't really seem fair. As far as it goes, though, it doesn't seem like they want to just go right into the playoffs. And in lieu of bringing all 30 teams back, which I think is I don't like it for a number of reasons. One of the biggest is which I think it becomes harder to really protect the bubble. In that case, I think if you want to experiment with a play-in tournament for those final seeds, particularly in the Western Conference, where you have those teams, the Blazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and then the Grizzlies, of course, all vying for that eighth seed. If you want to do something there, I'd be an advocate for that. But I don't think they need to do anything too extensive. Just as you said, the season has been kind of butchered enough, and I don't know that there's other options where you're not really penalizing the best teams. And at that point, that's where it really gets into weird territory, because you've had these teams competing for certain playoff seeds under the guise that they were doing it for certain incentives.
Tampa Valley Bleacher Report joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Bart Winkler alongside Ryan Horvath, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I think from the TV perspective, it's going to be interesting to see, because if they do this Disney thing, there will not be fans there. That's why they're doing it this way. You watch some of the sports without fans, you know, the German league. All right, you can hear these guys talk on the soccer field, but we don't know German. We don't know what the hell they're saying. The UFC is interesting because some of the guys have changed their approach after hearing the announcers comment on them. Do you think that if the NBA does put out a product, are they going to go all out and mic up everybody and we'll be able to hear it and you might have to have an uncensored version on one channel and a censored version on the other? Would they try to, do you think, or should they try to highlight what goes on the court, or not let fans in and see and hear what goes on the court? What do you think would be the better approach?
They should absolutely let fans hear what's going on the court. It would be great. You know, even in the, I believe it's the New Zealand league, that you can hear inside the huddles during games. And this is while there are fans there. I don't think the NBA will go to that extent, though. So while I think they should, I'd be a little bit surprised if they do. Maybe, like you said, they could separate it onto two channels where there's one that's sort of centered or on delay and one that's not. I think you probably end up with, if they do give you that type of access, you're going to just see those games on a longer delay so that they can cut anything out that's just a little bit too risque. I am very curious to see what they do, though, because we've seen teams sort of pump in music or crowd noise. I don't know if the NBA would decide to do that. You need to kind of see what the arenas look like empty that they're going to be playing in Orlando, maybe before you make that decision. But I'm a big supporter of them sort of letting us hear what's happening. You know, if you don't want to let us inside the team huddles, that's fine. I wouldn't say there's trade secrets there, but if you don't want to tip your hand, fine. I still would love to hear what goes on with the players during the games more. When you attend them, when you cover the games, you do get a little bit of a sense of what they're saying, but as fans, as watching from afar, you don't really ever get that sort of connection. And if you're not going to have fans there to begin with, I think this would be just a great way to make what's a pretty bad situation at least seem a little bit more interesting.
This might be hard to even answer now, and we'll get into these conversations once the games are rescheduled and everything, but is there any team that you can think of that benefits from this or even is hurt by this? Because, you know, it seems like when, as a Bucks fan, all these proposals, every proposal other than the normal proposal is disadvantageous to the Bucks in some way. And then I don't know how well those guys have been staying in shape. I don't know how other guys have been staying in shape. I don't know what kind of basketball we'll see, if it's going to be, you know, even a good product. Can you even begin to grasp, like, who is going to be there? Is it for sure still going to be the Clippers, Lakers, Bucks, bottom or the top three? Do we still think that the seedings are going to play into it? Do you have any sort of anticipation as to how the season, once we get there, is going to play out?
When you're looking at who might be adversely impacted the most, it's kind of hard to discern, just because I think so many teams are probably impacted a little bit poorly. You look at the top seeds in particular, the Bucks, the Lakers, you know, home court advantage is now all of a sudden out the window because you're playing in this neutral location. So that's just inherently going to hurt you. There might be some teams who end up benefiting from this. You can immediately look at, you know, towards the bottom of the Western Conference, if they're going to let the Kings and the Spurs come back and give them a real shot at that eight seed when they didn't really have it to begin with, they sort of intrinsically benefit there. And then a team that's actually, I think was a fringe contender, at least entering the season, or maybe during the year, that this actually helps is the Sixers. They were so banged up and not playing well this year, particularly on offense to begin with. But now you're at a point where Ben Simmons' back is probably better. Perhaps Al Horford isn't dealing with as strong of these Achilles issues. They had Josh Richardson, who was banged up for most of the year. And so if you get them healthier, and now you're giving them a crack at the playoffs, in sort of a regular format where you're not going to see their seed change or their first-round matchup change, I think it puts them in a pretty good position to maybe come out of the East. I don't think they'd be the team you'd pick, but if we're going back 3 months where it didn't look like they could even be a team that came out of the East, I think now you can at least envision a scenario where that happens.
Dan Favalli, good stuff. Bleacher Report, follow him on Twitter to get the latest, Dan Favalli. Dan, appreciate it, and we'll talk to you when there's games to talk about if you're down.
Most definitely. Thank you guys for having me, as always. Take care.
Dan joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank, has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, more next on The Fan.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in upstate New York. A new death among protests that have taken over the country. Louisville, Kentucky Police Chief Steve Conrad said officers and National Guard troops fired into a crowded parking lot after someone shot at them. One man was killed.
I think it's very, very clear that many people do not trust the police. Tonight's protests, once again, turned from peaceful to destructive.
In New York City, looters broke into Chanel, Prada, and Nike stores.
People are doing this, so next time, before they think about trying to kill another black person, they can be like, damn, we don't want them out here doing this again.
Two lawyers were arrested for throwing a Molotov cocktail into a marked NYPD van, one of them a 32-year-old Princeton and NYU law school grad. The family of the man whose death sparked the outrage is speaking out. CBS's Jeff Pegues is in Minneapolis.
I spoke with George's brother, Rodney, who called on protesters to stop the violence.
I'm asking for peace the same way my brother would ask us to, if he could see the situation, if he was there. Peace. Peaceful protesting is the best option we have to bring justice.
I'm Stephen Portnoy in Washington, where the Attorney General calls the violence in many cities rioting and blames outside radicals and agitators. The president has said the activist movement Antifa is behind it and says the government will designate the loosely affiliated group as a terrorist organization. The State Department can give that label to foreign actors, but the law is far less clear when it comes to homegrown movements inside the U.S.
22 states and Washington, D.C. have called in the National Guard. Correspondent Cammie McCormick says troops are worried about more than keeping the peace.
One of the concerns among National Guard leaders is the risk of exposure to the coronavirus among their soldiers. Many had been on COVID-19 duty before the protests. They're now in situations, one commander says, where they can't separate physically. They risk contracting the virus from their fellow guardsmen and the public.
There's new information on remdesivir and its effects on people with COVID-19. Phase 3 of Gilead's trial shows only limited benefit from the drug in moderately sick patients. The company's shares were down almost 3% in pre-market trading. The Dow is off 4 points right now. Grocery stores and gardening centers aren't the only ones raking in money during the pandemic.
Bert?
Hello.
Trevor Evans, FBI.
Streaming services like Netflix are doing a booming business. A survey by creditcards.com shows 31% of us have added a streaming service since restrictions were imposed. 52% have shared an account with someone outside the house. This is CBS News.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Evan Heffelfinger stopping by. He is part of the Bill Michaels Show. And you guys can continue to call in 414-799-1250. Get your voice heard. Again, this is our platform. We depend on your voice. So anything you need to express or want to express or questions, we are here for you. 799-1250. 799-1250. Evan's coming off a big weekend. He got recognized in public. Congratulations, bud.
Thank you.
How did that go? How was your first?
Pretty, I'll never forget it, like you said. It's pretty surreal. It's kind of, I want to know what it looked like for him coming up and seeing me, because I was sitting on a forklift at Home Depot with a mask on and sunglasses on. So he must have really known what I look like. Because it's kind of, I don't know, it's one of the more unique recognizing stories I think I've ever heard of.
You know, I remember when I was in lacrosse, I was on TV every day for 3 years. And never did anyone say, hey, are you Bart? Are you the guy on TV? Never. No matter where I went, I would show up to interviews and they wouldn't even know me from the news. They'd know every other person on our news team except me. Nobody recognized me ever. And then the day I moved away, I went to, apologies to Home Depot, I went to Menards to get their Menards truck to help move. And I'm like sweaty in a white dingy shirt. And she goes, hey, you're Bart Winkler from WKBT. I said, well, I was until about 4 hours ago. I'm moving. So yeah, she recognized me. It made me feel good.
Yeah. I remember the first time I was recognized. Now it's gotten actually much better. But the first time when I took over in Iowa, I replaced the sports director that was there for 50 plus years. And the first person that came up to me in a restaurant, I was with my wife. Luckily, my son was at daycare, and they were like, are you that son of a bitch that doesn't like wrestling? And I was like, well, I like the WWF, sir. And he was like, there was like really people that were like not big fans of me at first. Then I grew on them, though. Then they realized I was a basketball guy, and you got to choose. So, yeah. But, you know, it's always very humbling. Right, Bart?
We were talking to Dan. Yes, yes.
Whatever I just said. Yeah. You know.
We were talking to Dan Favalli, Bleacher Report, a couple minutes ago about the NBA and how it would come back. Evan, you're a Super Bucks fan. Let me ask you this. If the Bucks had no shot at the playoffs, would you want to see them come back?
I feel like I'm in the minority where I would say absolutely. But I could also make an argument as to why they shouldn't, just because why risk injury and future harm if you're not going to get a better draft pick, you're not going to get any money for it. There's literally no reason for you to be there.
Well, that's where I think, and I'm going to come back to this idea, where next year's regular season should start when the NBA playoffs start. So have you heard this idea yet from me?
No.
What I would like to see happen is they finish out this year's regular season. All the games, they finish them out. The whole 82. And then the playoffs start. So the eight teams that make it from each conference are in the playoffs. The seven teams that don't, they figure out the schedule where they begin playing next year's regular season. Okay? And then the other teams catch up with the regular season after. You could even go so far as the playoffs count also towards next year's regular season. You get it?
Bart, I love you.
Uh-oh.
You know I love you. But that's just not a very good idea.
It's not.
Evan, the NBA is about to play every game at Disney.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the most happy, wonderful place on earth.
Trust me, it's not.
The time for good ideas have escaped long, long ago.
Well, Evan, Sam, and Plucker, they do a podcast, and they had the same idea kind of that I had, Bart, where you play the playoffs with the playoff teams, and then the bad teams, you could bring them back, and then you could play for a draft pick. I think that's the best way to do it.
You do like an NIT-style tournament almost.
I love that.
No, see, the thing with playing for draft picks, I think you'd have to change the prize. I think there'd have to be like some monetary prize or something.
What do you mean?
Because when you have these teams play for like next year's draft pick, and with the NBA, there's so much turnover. I mean, a guy like Trae Young, he might bust his ass for a good draft pick because he knows he's going to be a Hawk for a while.
Yeah.
But some of these other guys on these teams, what the hell do they care?
Very true.
What do they care about what happens with this team next year? We always say that would be a good incentive, and it would be if you're playing Madden.
Yeah.
But to me, the idea is good. You just need to change the prize.
My thing is, like, there's nothing in the handbook. There's no perfect way to come back for sports, right? But we just want sports back. So if the NBA just started the playoffs, and let's say the Portland Trailblazers get hosed, who cares? They got no shot at winning a title, even if they do get in. If you want to complete the 72 games, bring teams back, bad teams like the Warriors and the Bulls and all these other teams, and Steph Curry doesn't want to play, then he could sit at home because the D League, the G League, whatever the hell we call it these days, that's not coming back. So get some of those other guys in. I mean, they're not taking a pay cut, let's be honest. Damian Lillard's still making $21 million this year. So get your ass out on the court and finish the season. Finish your job like the rest of us. You know, some days I want to sit at home. And I don't maybe want to risk getting sick, but I come in here because if I don't, I get fired, and then I don't have money to support my family. So, you know what I mean? There's no perfect way to get back on the court, but it's your job, so do it. If the NBA says to do it, then do it. I hate to
be
that way.
Well, the thing that I find interesting, too, in all these proposals with the NBA specifically is we keep trying to figure out ways to placate the teams 7 through 12.
Right.
How about you, like, what's best for the teams that actually tried in the regular season?
Right.
And won 80% of their games.
Right, dude. The Blazers aren't knocking out the Lakers or the Clippers, all right? Let's just start the playoffs the way that they should be spent today. And I know that you want to get some game action in, and you want to play some exhibition types if you're not going to do a regular season. Perfect solution is, okay, you got the Memphis Grizzlies. They're the eighth seed in the West. They're not going to the NBA Finals. Have them play against the Bucks once or twice. Then have the seventh seed in the West maybe play the Bucks once or twice. Do it like that. And then if it ends up being the matchup, you know, and the Memphis Grizzlies upset their way to the NBA Finals and beat LeBron, who cares? I mean, because I'll still watch it over again. I don't know. I don't know what the perfect solution is, but I do know that I want playoff basketball back. I do know that I want the season to finish. Same thing with Major League Baseball. You know, if Mike Trout can't play this year, no big deal. I mean, that's what they want, right? They want 112 games, and then they want protection where if they don't feel it's safe, then they're not going to be punished for not playing this year. But I just feel like we got to get these guys back out on the field. We got to get these guys back out on the court because it's going to be that time here soon, I feel at least, to get back to some sort of reality. And I want sports back. And not only just as a sports fan, just because it'll give us something to watch, something to unite on if we're all sitting back watching baseball together, I feel, as dumb as that sounds.
Well, no, and that's why I said earlier that if baseball could come up with some way to play a game tonight.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
I mean, what that would do for a lot of people.
Right. And I mean, I said that if it wasn't all decided and we didn't have something to come back on today, that we weren't getting a season, I don't know. I mean, and also, like, what do you think about the players, what they want, 112 games? Then you're not finishing, like, you're playing the playoffs when? October? No. November, December? You're playing the Major League Baseball playoffs? So where are you playing those playoff games? What if you're playing in, I mean, here in Milwaukee, you got a roof. I mean, do you have to just play all playoff games, like, at a neutral site where there is a roof? Because what if it starts snowing? I mean, it's bad enough. Like, we're watching baseball the first 2 months of the season, and some of these guys are dressed like foot soldiers out there. I remember Jorge Soler 1 year when he's playing with the Royals. It's like 60 degrees out, and the guy's got, like, a foot soldier mask on with just the eyes cut out. These guys are already cold in 60-degree weather. Imagine playing in, like, 20, 30-degree weather in the snow. Also, you're dipping into NBA playoff time.
Wait, foot soldiers from Ninja Turtles?
Turtles, yeah. Remember, they would wear, like, the mask with just, like, the holes cut out. That's what a lot of these guys look like because, you know, especially some of the guys that come over from the Dominican,
the disenfranchised youth that Shredder finds and gives them a purpose and a home.
Yeah, the foot soldiers, man. That's what they look. That's what Jorge Soler. That's what I called them that year.
Because
none of
them are
the
good fighters either.
No, they're terrible. They're like the Putty Patrol and the Power Rangers. Like their whole, they get sent out. There's 50 of them, and then they just get the hell beat out of
Remember
them.
Remember when Tommy died and came back as the White Ranger?
Yeah, it was one of the best moments of my life. I was a big Green Ranger fan. Loved how he was a heel, but only because he was under the power of Rita. And then when Lord Zedd joins the ship, yeah, you get Tommy back. He becomes the White Ranger. You know, he's still got the horn. But anyway, also, like, are we going to care about Major League Baseball, the regular season, the end of the regular season when teams are making a pennant chase? And even the postseason when we're in football season, that's the other thing. Like, if college football starts on time and the NFL starts on time, which I truly believe it will, are we going to care about the Major League Baseball postseason? That's why, I don't know, man. Baseball's got to get their stuff together and get it done
soon. Yeah, I don't, it's not, everyone keeps saying, well, we don't want to go up against football. We don't want to go up against football. But there's going to be, you got to, so now these leagues aren't going to come back till January?
Well, no. I mean, you're going to have to eventually. I just think
football plays 2 days a week.
We're all like, man, we haven't had sports in 70-plus days. I want it all. But, like, do we really want everything stockpiled on top of each other? Because then you have to make some decisions. I won't. I got enough TVs in my house.
I don't think beggars can be choosers, man.
I'll tell you this, though.
I watched 3 hours of a NASCAR race again yesterday.
Yeah, true.
And I'm starting to get that in my voice.
You do. You got a little twang in you. Twing, whatever you call it. But anyway, like, what I'm saying is, so if the Major League Baseball season comes back and the Brewers are a disaster and they're in last place and they're not playing in the postseason, postseason, or your team is, I'm not watching the postseason. I'm not going to watch the Yankees and the Red Sox when it's going up against the Packers and the Vikings week one. You get what I'm saying? So,
well, yeah.
Yeah, so let's get something going here.
Now you're saying, like, only there's like 10 hours of football a week.
I want it done is what I'm saying. Major League Baseball needs to get something done before Wednesday, I would argue. Like, if you keep pushing the season back, the less I'm going to care. The more that I hear about these guys arguing about money in public, do that stuff behind closed doors, especially after this weekend. We don't care about you millionaires and billionaires. We don't. We want to watch baseball. And if you guys don't want to play, fine. Get the Shane Falcos out there. Get the replacement players. I don't care. Get the Joliet Slammers out there. Get the Mudhounds or whatever that team was we had at the toy drive. You know? The Milkmen, sorry. Tired of this, though. I'm tired of every day a new proposal. This guy says this. This guy says this. Get out there and play baseball. You know what? And if you don't want to, and the owners, eat it for a year. You're going to lose money. It's your hobby.
Yeah, why do these owners think that that's their birthright to make money?
It's not even the real – like, yeah, it's a hobby for most of these guys. That's not even where they're making all their revenue. It's a hobby. You bought a team for a hobby. Now give us something to rally around. Get these guys back out on the field. Eat the money for a year. I don't care what
– why is no one talking about selling sponsorships on jerseys?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to look weird? Who cares?
There's plenty of ways to make money. Even right now, there's plenty of ways to make money through advertising revenue. Christian Yelich goes 3 for 4. I don't know. Free tires. I don't know. I mean, I'm not into marketing and advertising. I wish I was.
Well, you sort of are.
I feel like I'm at, I don't know. I want baseball back, and I want it back by June 30th.
Do you get my question that I was talking about earlier for both of you guys, where I said that you do? What question?
The one where would I want to watch the Bucks if they weren't a playoff team?
No. Earlier. I'm going to really go back into the annals of the show.
Oh.
Annals.
I got you.
I'm going to go deep into the anal here.
Oh.
Anal? The word's anal? Where's anal?
I don't really know where you're going here. Go
when,
on.
See, I'm trying to think because this year has been messed up.
Crappy.
Yeah. Everyone's angry
about
something. Some it's a very large issue. Some it's not that big of an issue. But everyone's angry about something. People are angry at me for something I didn't even say today. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
People are angry. And I think that when sports comes back, I think that sports has been such a good outlet for anger. I think that most people need some sort of anger management.
Yeah, even if it's just getting together and, like, instead of complaining about politics or about what religion you believe in or what race you are, it would be great to argue why Craig Counsell went to the bullpen in the fourth inning.
And that release we don't have anymore.
No.
Because anger builds up in people, and you find different ways to release it.
Right.
Whether it's through ordering a pizza or having a nightcap.
Mm-hmm.
Or going for a run, or having a dialogue. Anger builds up in people, and you find a different way to release it.
To release it.
And I think for a lot of people that use this as a platform, calling in and being mad, or listening and trying to, you know, go through. How many times do we say, oh, good morning, it's Therapy Monday on the show, because everybody's so angry.
Yeah.
We don't have sports anymore. So I wonder, will I feel the same amount of passion to the teams that I love right now?
I'll love them even more, Bart. I really will. Because
if the Bucks don't win the NBA title, will I feel the same amount of anger in this weird setup that they're going to use as I would have if they choked to the Raptors again in the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's funny that you say that, because I said to my wife, if we just get a football season and I get at least 2 more years of Aaron Rodgers, I'll never complain again. I don't care if they go to the NFC Championship game and get blown out and give up 375 yards to a fourth-string running back again. That's fine with me. If they go 2-14, that's fine with me, because I get to see my favorite players play a sport. And for me, right, it's an escape. Playing sports for a lot of us is an escape. Growing up, you know, I remember I didn't want to play three sports. It's basketball, baseball, football. You never get a break, you know, and then your buddies in the summer that aren't playing baseball, they have the opportunity just to sit back and go to the beach and stuff like that. And I always just thought that, like, my dad put it the best, like, you have to play basketball, baseball, football, because the downtime, I don't want you getting in trouble. I know where you're at all the time because you're at practice or you're at the games or you're working on the game. And it was the truth because, like, idle hands are the devil's playground. It's the truth. So, like, sports are an escape, but they provide us some structure. I'm telling that to my wife. Like, I want basketball, baseball, and football back, but not only just because, like, I love sports, because they're more than just sports. I think that these last couple months have really proved how important sports are in our lives, because it's an escape. It gives us something all to rally around, something to root for. You're different. I'm different. But we're both Packers fans, so you may believe in this. I believe in that. But we're both going to be pissed off when Matt LaFleur, on 4th-and-1, biggest drive of the game, decides to punt the ball and not go for it.
Yeah, NFC Championship game. That game was over right away.
We called it. And it was the first, you know what? I say the most important part of the game. It was the first drive of the game.
Well, we looked at each other and one of us said, it's over. And one of us said, I know. What the hell?
After for 4 hours straight on a pregame show, we played G-Force. I had thousands of dollars, my hair on the line, believing in this team. And after one drive, we completely gave up on our team, but we were united from giving up on the team.
Coach Taylor wouldn't have given up on that team.
He wanted a clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, you know? And, and he was a hell of a coach. Hell of a coach. Just wait till you get in the later seasons. They have to, like, break up the high school, and then it gets rough.
Well, even though I read about it.
I was going to say, I thought you said you were reading spoiler alert.
The character I can't get into on Friday Night Lights is Riggins' ex-girlfriend.
Oh, the blonde.
What's her deal?
She's just a wildflower, man.
She just, the episode I watched, it was homecoming, and she hosted a party with Tim's brother.
Oh, I forgot all about Tim's brother.
Tim's brother seems like Ryan Atwood's brother, Trey.
Yeah.
I get a Trey Atwood vibe.
Well, yeah, guys.
From the OC.
Anybody in their 30s that drinks with high school kids has some issues. We all know that guy, too.
Heffelfinger.
Hello.
Oh, did he?
What's up?
Do you feel like you'll have the same amount of passion for these teams when they come back?
That's something that I've honestly been wrestling with a little bit, because the Bucks, they put out a video of, like, all of Giannis's dunks from all this season, and I watched that last night, and I was like, I obviously miss basketball. I miss the sports, but it's almost like because it's been 3 months that the passion isn't necessarily there right now. But I know the second that they announce they're coming back and I see, like, a practice and a game, I'm going to be fully in.
Well, you feel the passion again if you get to sit next to Marlins man while watching the game.
Yeah, we talked to Marlins.
I don't think passion will be the only thing I'm feeling.
Heyo. I asked him if he owns other clothes, and I already forgot what he said to that.
I love Marlins man.
I'm a big Marlins man fan. You know, when we first had him on the show, I hated him. Mainly out of jealousy, though. You know, because he has, like, a private jet. He went to 3 games in one day, Evan. And a Little League game, so technically 4.
People forget.
Hashtag, people do forget about Marlins man with no pro sports. Where is Marlins man?
It's the question we all wonder, and we found out. That's what we're doing for you. We're solving problems.
Yes, we are solving problems. So, Bart, in your opinion, really quick, because I know that we're coming to the end of the show, but Major League Baseball, are we going to get a seat? Like, where are we going to go with this? Because the players want 112 games. They want expanded postseason then for the next 2 years. Is there going to be a happy medium here? Like, are we going to get some sort of agreement? Or is this season just over already?
Well, what are they going to agree to?
That's what I know. That's what I'm asking.
Owners are saying, for dinner, I want a pizza. And the players are saying, for dinner, I want Chinese food. Well, what are you going to do? Put Chinese food on a pizza?
I always say to my wife, well, how about you get Chinese and I get pizza? And she's like, well, no, that's not how it works. And I'm like, but why not? But yeah, go on. No, seriously, though. You ever have that argument? Like, why?
Yeah, you have to eat the same thing, duh.
Like, my kid loves McDonald's and I like Wendy's.
No, you can't do both.
Well, you can, though. I could get him the food and his could be cold because he could eat it in the car. And then I go to get my Wendy's and then we come home and we got both. Cold burgers.
Like, at a food court. If you guys go to a food court at a mall, do y'all stop at the same place?
I couldn't
tell
you.
That's part of the charm
in
a food court.
Right.
She can have Panda Express and you can have Sbarro.
Oh, that's great. Marlins man just texted me. He said, Marlins man said, that was fun. So many wrote to me today how entertaining your show was, even the mascot. Bernie
Brewer?
No way. Marlins man is, he's just trying to gas me up a little bit. He does love this radio station. Every time he's in Milwaukee, he does listen to it. So shout out to Marlins man. Big baseball guy. Rooting for the team, too. I love that rivalry with him and Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I think we're going to close up shop here for the day.
Pretty soon.
No. Let's do it now.
Well, how does that work, sir?
Well, how much time's left in the show?
About a full minute that people probably don't want to hear of Land of Confusion instrumental version, especially since it's only about a minute and 2 seconds to go. So you could tell us where they could. What do you got coming up tomorrow, Bart?
Tomorrow on the show, we are going to have a cameo challenge at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to discuss tonight's big game. The Xfinity series is on track. I believe Kurt and Kyle Busch are both on the broadcast.
Oh, we got Bundesliga coming up here today.
Kyle Busch's birthday, his wife's birthday is today, but he already made the commitment for Saturday. But he's still going to do it. So it's his wife's birthday, but he's going to be on the Fox broadcast. Monday Night Raw is back. We'll find the continuing feud between Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. And I believe there's a rerun of 911 on tonight. So,
all right. Well,
check it out. We'll probably be back tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Have a good one.
A radio.com sports station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.